Welcome to That and a Dollar, the podcast that thinks if we just stay put, this whole thing will blow over. I'm a guy named Chuck, and what I like to do is pick a topic and dive in with some fun pop culture examples. My hope is to share my thoughts and provide some insight into some of my favorite franchises out there. I hope to give you some movies or shows that you may not have seen before, or at least remind you of those forgotten gems. I like sharing things I like and maybe shed a little light on why I like them so much. I always love to hear people talk about things that they like, even if they're not my favorites. If I watch a movie and I do not like it, I always try to get back and rewatch it down the road, just in case the movie was good and it was me and where I was. With respects to shows, I like to give a minimum of 3 episodes before I decide to continue. I'm also now on Twitter. You can find me at that and a dollar. Feel free to check that out. If you'd like to keep this one-man operation flying, please feel free to leave a tip at buymeacoffee.com/thatandadollar, or you can check out our store at cafepress.com/thatandadollar. Seems like anymore there are infected or zombies everywhere. Zombie films have been a staple for drive-in movies since the 1950s, but those were the sort of voodoo resurrected dead kind of movies. Romero is probably the first to do the dead won't die zombies of the modern era in Night of the Living Dead back in 1968. These films were popular horror films throughout the 70s, but seemed to disappear behind the slashers of the 80s. So today I want to talk about the zombie revival of the late 90s, early 2000s that has led us to the culture of the undead that we're experiencing today. Shaun of the Dead.
You ever think that modern life is not for you? Do you do the same dead-end job every day? Is your love life dying on its feet?
To a wonderful mom.
Oh, have you ever felt that you're turning into...
Slayer of the world?
A zombie. Maybe you're not alone.
Is a 2004 British horror comedy film directed by Edgar Wright, who also directed Baby Driver. Love the sound design in that. Last Night in Soho and The World's End. Starring Simon Pegg, who you know as Scotty from the new Star Trek movies, which are just fun, as well as the Mission Impossible franchise, as the titular character, Sean. The film follows Sean, a slacker living in London, as he navigates through his mundane life, unaware that the zombie apocalypse is unfolding around him. Now, the story begins with Sean and his lackluster routine, going to work at an electronics store, spending the evening at his local pub, the Winchester, and struggling with his girlfriend, Liz, played by Kate Ashfield, from Late Night Shopping, Beyond Borders, and Guesthouse Paradiso, who is dissatisfied with their relationship. Now, Sean's best friend, Ed, played by Nick Frost, who you know from Paul, Attack the Block, and also The World's End, is also a lazy and somewhat irresponsible roommate, and their shared idleness becomes the sort of recurring theme. Ed even foretells the entire movie in a speech he gives. Many characters foreshadow events to come while lecturing Sean about his life. Ed gives a speech about what they're going to do the next day and says, we'll start with Bloody Mary. And of course, the first zombie they end up trying to kill is wearing a name tag that identifies her as Mary. And she does go in a bloody mess. The inciting incident occurs when a zombie apocalypse suddenly erupts in London. However, Sean remains oblivious to this and the chaos around him for a significant portion of the movie. In one of the humor sequences, he walks to the local shop in a zombie-like state, unaware that the actual zombies are roaming the streets around him. The scene actually is shot for shot, just like the day before, except this time we have zombies in the mix, and he's obviously going through his morning routine. So you ask yourself, really? Who's the zombie here? As Sean starts to grasp the severity of the situation, he formulates a plan to rescue Liz, his loved ones, and find safety at the Winchester, his favorite pub. The group consists of Sean, Liz, Ed, and then Sean's mother, Barbara, played wonderfully by Penelope Wilton from the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel and the Downton Abbey movie. His stepfather, Bill Nye, his stepfather, Philip, played by Bill Nye, Love Actually and Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, and Liz's flatmates, David, played by Dylan Moran from Good Vibrations and Run, Fat Boy, Run, and Diane, who's played by Lucy Davis, who was in the British version of The Office, as well as the as Garfield, A Tale of Two Kitties. The plot unfolds with a mix of horror and comedy, cleverly balancing the intense zombie encounters with Sean's bumbling attempts at heroism. The group faces numerous challenges, including navigating through hordes of zombies while pretending to be zombies themselves, dealing with the interpersonal conflict, like David actually being in love with Liz, and addressing Sean's shortcoming as a leader. Amidst the chaos, Sean and his friends seek refuge in the Winchester, hoping to wait out the zombie apocalypse. Now, the pub becomes both a literal and metaphorical safe haven as it holds sentimental value for Sean and represents the nostalgic escape from reality. However, the group soon discovers that the pub's defenses are not as secure as they initially believed. The climax of the film occurs when the survivors are besieged by zombies at the Winchester. In a blend of humor and horror, Sean and his friends fight off the undead using improvised weapons, showcasing the film's unique tone. The final confrontation tests the characters' bonds and forces Sean to confront his own shortcomings. Another scene that was shown in the start of the film is played out as they are shooting the zombies. I mean, every character seems to have this sort of metaphorical speech that is later shown in quite a literal sense in the movie. I don't want to give away too much. I feel I've already given away a lot. However, Shaun of the Dead is celebrated for its innovative fusion of horror and comedy, as well as its clever social commentary. The film uses the zombie apocalypse as a backdrop to explore themes of friendship, personal growth, and the monotony of modern life. The character's humor, charm, and relatability contribute to the film's enduring popularity as a cult classic in the horror comedy genre. Now, if you want to see this gem, head to Hulu, or you can purchase it from places like Apple TV, YouTube, Redbox, and so on. Zombieland is a post-apocalyptic horror comedy film that follows the journey of four survivors, Columbus, Tallahassee, Wichita, and Little Rock, as they navigate a world overrun by zombies.
Planet Earth. Home to over 6 billion people. Today, our very existence is threatened by epidemics, climate change, and dwindling resources. But those are the least of our problems.
The film, directed by Ruben Fleischer, also directed Uncharted and Venom, and released in 2009, offers a unique blend of humor, action, and horror. The story begins with Columbus, a neurotic and socially awkward young man who has managed to survive the zombie apocalypse by adhering to a set of rules he has created for himself. These rules are such as, you know, cardio and double tap help him navigate the dangerous landscape and avoid being devoured by the undead. Now, Columbus is played by Jesse Eisenberg, who you know from The Emperor's Club, Superman versus Batman, and The Social Network. Columbus meets up with Tallahassee. Now, Tallahassee is played to perfection by Woody Harrelson, who gives a top-notch performance in this film. You know Harrelson from his time on Cheers, as well as the Hunger Games movies and Solo, A Star Wars Story, which is not as bad as the reviews made it out to be. Tallahassee is the rough, roguish zombie killer on the search for the last Twinkie. I mean, every man needs his mission, especially in Z-Land. As the journey through the desolate landscape of Zombieland, Columbus and Tallahassee encounter Wichita, played by Emma Stone, who you know from La La Land, Easy A, and The House Bunny, and Little Rock, played by Abigail Breslin from Little Miss Sunshine, Signs, and Raising Helen. They play a pair of sisters who initially con the boys out of their weapons and vehicle. However, the four survivors soon join forces, realize the benefit of sticking together in a world overrun by zombies. As the group journeys towards Pacific Playground, rumored zombie-free zone, they begin to form a makeshift family, with Columbus and Wichita developing a romantic connection and Tallahassee forming a parental bond with Little Rock. The camaraderie and character dynamics add depth to the film, transforming it from a mere survival story to a tale of personal growth and connection in the face of adversity. They spend the night in the relative safe haven of a celebrity's mansion. This leads us to a cameo by the wonderful Bill Murray, and that is classic Bill Murray in this. Do I need to tell you what you know Bill Murray from? Well, he was in Caddyshack. He was in Ghostbusters, Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. In a short scene with a shockingly hilarious end, but it delivers, as usual, the typical Bill Murray scene. I don't want to give away too much, but our group does reach their destination and all is not what they think. That's all I'm going to say about it. If you want to see this gem, you'll have to find it for sale at the usual places, Vudu, Amazon, Apple TV, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Dawn of the Dead, now I'm talking about the 2004 remake, is a contemporary reimagining of George Romero's classic 1978 film by the same name.
Vivian, honey, are you okay?
Ah! Help!
Romero is the one commonly credited with creating the modern zombie movie. Prior to his pivotal Night of the Living Dead, most zombie films were more of that voodoo mind control variety. Now, this is directed by Zack Snyder, who you know from films like Army of the Dead, Justice League, and 300. The 2004 version blends horror, action, and social commentary to create a gripping narrative set against the backdrop of a zombie apocalypse. Now, this was written by James Gunn, who also wrote Guardians of the Galaxy, Slither, and Peacemaker. The story begins with Anna, that's played by Sarah Pauli, who was also in My Life Without Me and one of my favorites, Go. She plays a nurse finishing her shift at the hospital. Chaos erupts as mysterious, rapidly spreading virus turns people into flesh-eating zombies. In the opening scene, she's attacked by her neighbor's child. Always chilling when children attack. I think that was on Fox one time, when children attack. She then narrowly escapes an attack by her infected husband. In the ensuing panic, Anna's neighborhood disintegrates into violence and death, and we get this great wide shot of a car crashing into a gas station and everything explodes. I mean, it's this super wide aerial, almost looks like models, but it's so cool looking. Fleeing for her life, Anna encounters a police sergeant Kenneth Ving Rhames from Pulp Fiction, the Mission Impossible franchise, and the short-lived reboot of Kojak, which I enjoyed. They join forces with other survivors, including Michael, played by Jake Weber from the show Medium, U571, and Pushing 10. Andre, played by Mekhi Phifer, who was in 8 Mile, ER, and I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, and his pregnant wife, Luda. Desperate for safety, the group seeks refuge in a shopping mall. The mall becomes a fortress, a place to regroup and attempt to survive in a world overrun by the undead. Now, the survivors barricade themselves inside, attempting to secure the mall from the hordes of zombies outside. As the group settles into their new reality, tensions arise. The mall, once a symbol of consumerism and excess, becomes both a haven and a prison. The survivors grapple with the psychological toll of their situation, facing the moral dilemma of whether to help others or prioritize their own survival. The film skillfully balances intense action sequences with moments of quiet tension and character development. The survivors face not only external threats, but also internal conflicts as fear and mistrust brew within the group. The presence of a security guard, CJ, played by Michael Kelly, you know him from the Jack Ryan show on Amazon, as well as House of Cards over at Netflix, who initially opposes the newcomers, adds an additional layer of tension throughout the film. The survivors make daring forays into the zombie-infested world outside the mall to secure supplies. The nature of the virus and the government's attempt to contain it gradually unfold, revealing a world in chaos on the brink of collapse. As the group fights to stay alive, they come to realize that surviving the zombie apocalypse is not just about avoiding the undead, but also about preserving their humanity. The film culminates in a gripping and suspenseful climax where the survivors must confront both the relentless zombie horde and the choices they've made in their struggle for survival. In its thrilling combination of horror, action, and social commentary, Dawn of the Dead from 2004 stands as a modern reinterpretation of a classic, delivering visceral and thought-provoking experience for the audience. If you want to see this, you'll have to have a subscription over at Stars or buy it from Vudu, Amazon, and all of the others. 28 Days Later is a gripping, intense, post-apocalyptic horror film directed by Danny Boyle, who also directed Slumdog Millionaire and 127 Hours. 28 Days Later was released in 2002. The narrative unfolds in the heart of London, where a highly contagious virus dubbed Rage is accidentally unleashed from a laboratory. The film opens with animal rights activists breaking into a lab to free infected chimpanzees, unaware that these animals carry a deadly virus. The virus quickly spreads, plunging society into chaos and leaving only a handful of survivors to navigate a desolate and dangerous world. Now, the protagonist, Jim, is played by Cillian Murphy, who you know from Oppenheimer, Peaky Blinders, and Inception, awakens in a deserted hospital 28 days after the initial outbreak. Confused and disoriented, he stumbles through the eerily empty streets of London, discovering the city in ruins. The haunting absence of human life and the skeletal remains of a once thriving metropolis create a harrowing atmosphere that sets the tone for the rest of the film. This was particularly powerful because it was only about a year after the 9/11 attacks here in the U.S. Seeing posted messages for loved ones who were missing or to notify where they had gone was impactful for me, really wondering where this film was going to go. As Jim searches for signs of life, He encounters a small group of survivors led by the pragmatic Selena, played by Naomi Harris, who you know from Moonlight and Skyfall, the James Bond movie, and the resourceful Mark, played by Noah Huntley, who you will remember from Event Horizon and Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. These survivors inform Jim about the nature of the virus and the catastrophic events that unfolded during his unconsciousness. The infected, now transformed into ferocious and hyper-aggressive creatures, roam the streets attacking anything that moves. Their journey takes an unexpected turn when they encounter Frank, played by Brendan Gleeson, who I always love on screen. You know him from In Bruges, Mr. Mercedes, and the Harry Potter franchise. Now, he's a cab driver, and his daughter, Hannah, join this group. The dynamic of the group evolves as they grapple with the challenges of trust and the delicate balance between self-preservation and compassion. Together, they decide to seek refuge in a military blockade rumored to offer safety and a chance for some semblance of normalcy. As the group approaches the military outpost, they discover that not everything is as it seems. The military, led by enigmatic Major Henry West, played by Chris Eccleston, from Doctor Who, G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, and the series Heroes, which I loved, has its own sinister agenda. The film explores the darker side of human nature as the survivors confront the horrors of both infected and those who claim to be saviors. I'm going to stop here as I don't want to give away too much and spoil the powerful ending of this wonderful movie. If you want to see this, you're going to have it in your collection already. At last check, this was not available for streaming anywhere, which is the downside to streaming as we lose access to wonderful films like this one. World War Z is a gripping 2013 blockbuster.
Does it live in a jungle?
No.
Oh.
Is it really fast?
No.
Does it live on the Great Plains of Africa?
No.
Hey!
What is going on?
Hold on, guys.
Daddy, be careful on the road.
Get back in your car right now! Remain with your vehicle!
Directed by Mark Forster, who also directed Monsters Ball, Kite Runner, and Quantum of Solace, a Bond movie, and starring Brad Pitt. The film is a loose adaptation of Max Brooks's novel of the same name. The narrative unfolds in a world teetering on the brink of global pandemic as a mysterious and rapidly spreading virus turns humans into aggressive, fast-moving zombies. Yes, the running kind. Jerry Lane, played by Brad Pitt, who you know from Fight Club, 12 Monkeys, and the Ocean's movies, just to name a few, is a former United Nations investigator. He finds himself thrust into a race against time to save humanity. As chaos erupts worldwide, Lane embarks on a globe-trotting journey to identify the source of the pandemic and find a solution to halt its progression. The film takes audiences on a relentless and suspenseful ride, showcasing intense action sequences and breathtaking set pieces. And that is something this movie does very well. It plays with tension and suspense. This one will have you stressed out through the entire runtime. Each stop is more of a nail biter than the last stop on this globe-trotting journey. I think it really has to do with the way they kill off one of the main scientists early on, Elias Gabel, who you know from A Most Violent Year in the TV show Scorpion, which is a great show about geniuses solving crimes. Check it out if you can. Plays Dr. Fassbach. He's the one that's going to figure out this whole thing and save humanity. The first stop, he trips and shoots himself in the head. Now you're thinking no one is safe. Are they going to kill off Brad Pitt halfway through? Surely not. He's such a big name. But the key is you don't know. It is a real possibility, and they play with that from the start. Noteworthy is the unique portrayal of the zombies in World War Z. Unlike traditional lumbering undead, these creatures display remarkable agility and coordination, creating an unprecedented sense of urgency. Not only do they run, they seem to be able to communicate with each other as they run through the streets of various cities or even as they attack high walls. They work like ants or birds even in that they seem to work together and move together. The film explores themes of global cooperation, sacrifice, and resilience of human spirit in the face of an apocalyptic threat. This film nails the varied response we would most likely see and have seen as a global pandemic takes place. While some countries would lock down, others would seem to ignore the obvious threat until it was too late. This movie is easily eerily prophetic in the way it nails the global response. Brad Pitt delivers a compelling performance as Jerry Lane, anchoring the film with a mix of vulnerability and determination. The screenplay cleverly weaves together personal drama, geopolitical intrigue, and pulse-pounding action, keeping viewers engaged throughout. Oh, the tension. Oh, the tension. This one will definitely have you on the edge of your seat throughout the entire run, from the beginning on the streets of Philly to the abandoned South Korean military base or to the fall of Tel Aviv, even the climactic ending in a World Health Organization facility. The tension is high throughout. A definite must-see zombie film. Forget definitely a must-see film. You got to see it. That end of sentence. To check this out, you will need to find it at Paramount Plus, or you can rent it from Apple TV. There it is, my list of 5 zombie revival movies. Did I miss yours? Let me know on social media with the hashtag ThatAndADollarPodcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at ThatAndADollar. We're also on Instagram at @A_Guy_Named_Chuck. Also, don't forget to join our Facebook group, ThatAndADollarPodcast. If you want to support further episodes, please leave a tip at buymeacoffee.com/ThatAndADollar or check out our store at cafepress.com/ThatAndADollarPodcast. As always, I'm a guy named Chuck, and That and a Dollar will get you a cup of coffee.